There we go. And so this evening, I'm going to introduce our lovely Julie, who's come to share her experience, strength, and hope with us today. And I'm talking slow because, oh, yeah, you're unmuted. There you go. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm Julie. I'm an addict, and most of you know me. I have some really good friends here at the meeting at the moment, and that's really nice. It's nice to have good friends, real friends, genuine friends who I can be myself with. And it's absolutely only friends in recovery who I can be my real self with. That's a rich experience. I have no kind of set plan of what to say. I did write down a few words and a few dates and years and this block of time and that block of time, so I will look to that for a little bit of guidance. So yeah, and congratulations to Robert on his upcoming recovery birthday. It's brilliant. And Jan, being my favorite Saturday 6 p.m. host for 1 year, it's great. In recovery, we get to have these celebrations and come to know what celebration is and take part in celebrations, our own and others, and it's such a big gift. I do need to be in the mood to celebrate, and that's another job in itself, but it's possible. It's possible. I hope I can kind of stay focused mainly on my, time and life in recovery with all its many ups and downs, as opposed to the years before that in active addiction and the many ups and downs before that too. So I'll say that I got clean in 2003. I went to my first meeting in the summer of 2003, not really interested in getting clean myself, but I went to please my boyfriend at the time. Anyway, a couple of months I did go to regular meetings. And but it took me a couple of months to throw the towel in, so to speak, and that relationship was over by then, and that was very upsetting, very upsetting. But anyway, such was the beginning of the road to recovery, and a very bumpy road it was and is. And anyway, I suppose just to kind of maybe put a few bullet points, like that was 2003, and then like when I suppose made some form of commitment to staying clean, I was suddenly very hungry to do all the right things. So I went to regular meetings, I had a home group, I got into service, I got a sponsor. What else? Did the steps. I was part of a day treatment center. And kind of did all the right things. That doesn't mean I didn't continue to do some of the wrong things. I did stay clean and sober, but as an addict, I'm a complicated person. I'm certain that I always will be. I did some crazy things too, but human crazy things. I got into this relationship when I was 6 months clean with another member that turned my life upside down in good ways, but in kind of, troublesome ways too. Anyway, it ended in tears. So that was that. So that was just, that's just one example of something that wasn't really doing all the right things. But yeah, and I was working part-time and sort of in my first year of recovery, I was in college part-time and in terms of I was young, I was in my early 20s, I was single, I didn't have any children. So I had this, now looking back, I know that I had all this time, so I did have comparison with my life now. I had an abundance of time for meetings and step work and service and all that. Some very, very, very memorable aspects of service I did were H&I, hospitals and institutions, going to different hospitals, psych units, just sometimes me and another member, trying to bring the message in traditional speak. You know, I was part of traditional NA and AA for a long time until 2020 when I found Tuss New and Secular AA, and I haven't turned back to traditional fellowships since then. But I have only good things in my experience of traditional AA or NA, mostly anyway. So yeah, and sponsorship, sponsors I had were, again, that was a very enriching experience, you know. It was very kind of, my first sponsor was a lovely, lovely woman. She was my first friend in NA, and it was just that thing. And I'm sure it happens to most of us. Like, I couldn't get over, there was this woman who just kind of wanted to be my friend and wanted to be sort of a shoulder to lean on, so to speak. And then when she became my sponsor, to really be there for me. So that kind of arm of friendship and trust, and that was totally new, totally new, totally new. And again, that's the path of recovery. Like, of course, I had friends before that, but you know, nothing is the same. You know, life in addiction was just so dark and cloudy and thorny and all of that stuff, confusing. And you know, I was drugged up to my eyeballs. So in the clarity of getting clean and having that support and all that stuff, you know, it was a really big eye-opener, and learning to, you know, the fundamental aspects of just being a human, connecting with others, talking, sharing, listening, trusting, hanging out with people who didn't kind of expect or demand anything back from me. So yeah, that was that. And you know, again, different kind of choices in terms of life, and got opportunities to do this and that. In 2007, I moved from Cork here in the south of Ireland, where I live now again, where I grew up. And I moved from Cork to Dublin to go to college. So I was about kind of almost 5 years there. And that was a big chapter of life, big, big chapter of life. My whole recovery circle was still very much center of my life then. I'll say that, you know, what I've written down here on my little yellow post-it is, in a circle, I had three big dreams, and in another big circle, I have four big changes. The four big changes are relating to, like, now, current life, and especially this year, 2025. And these three big dreams in the circle I have, were three big dreams that I had for a lot of my time in recovery that kind of came crumbling down, let's say, I don't know, I don't know, 10-ish years ago. Anyway, I'll come back to that. But yeah, so I, like I said, bumpy road, bumpy road, the uncertainty, the unknown, the many good things and opportunities coming as well. You know, the roller coaster, the highs and the lows of life. You know, there'd never be time to talk about them all. Then, anyway, again, connected with college, and what I was pursuing in Dublin was midwifery, and I love that. I really, really did. I'm someone who's very passionate about A, health, and B, women and women's health, women's bodies, babies. So it was perfect for me in one sense, but but, you know, and a bit of a saga and a heartbreak. And I had wanted, the system here in Ireland is probably satisfactory for a lot of midwives and women, but for me, it wasn't. I couldn't quite align my own values to what I saw going on around me. So yeah, it was immensely stressful in the hospital I was in. And anyway, I kind of left it all go. It really broke my heart. And that was a long time ago. That was 2012. I still get very sad about it. But yes, time does not stop for anything. Nothing, nothing. For all my heartaches, it hasn't stopped. Anyway, was hoping to go over to the UK and pick myself up with my midwifery over there. Applied for this and that, wasn't being offered a place. What could I do? And then, I had met a man, and he lived over on the other side of the world, in Asia, in China. And because my plan A of practicing midwifery in the UK did not fall into my lap, I chose to move to China. So that was 2014. And then again, recovery is number one in my life. And yeah, it mostly has been since I got clean. So, and like I said at the start there, I have been to regular meetings pretty much all that time, 21 years of recovery now, except for my 5 years in living in China, because deep breath, China is China. And I don't know how much it's changed now. I'm back here in Ireland 5 years, but in the time I was in China, fourth the biggest country in the whole of the world, there was one group of AA in Beijing, and there was one group of AA in Shanghai, and I did not live in either of those cities. So it meant that effectively I had no meetings for that 5 years. Except for the times I would come home on holiday, which would be like kind of 3 weeks in January and about 6 weeks over the summer. And in those periods, yeah, I would, kind of pack in all the meetings I could and be back in the swing of things with my home group here in Cork. And, that was great. That was absolutely essential. And then back to my life on the other planet, as I call it. So that, looking back, was again part of the kind of opportunity I had. And good things came out of it. I really enjoyed my work there. The man I had met became my fiance, became my husband, became the father of my child. Another deep breath. So yeah, going back to my yellow little post-it here, the three big dreams, the three big dreams that I had in my mind at that point, that had come, I don't know, when I was a few years clean and sober, and certainly they were very much in my mind when I moved to China in 2014. And those three big dreams were, to have a home birth, to have a baby and have a home birth, a water birth if possible, to learn how to gallop a horse bareback, and to write a book. So as yet, I have not been able to achieve any of those dreams, for all kinds of reasons. But so I guess the possibility, any possibility of having home birth or water birth was made impossible by, yes, choosing to have my baby be born in China. And as a person in China, as a white woman who didn't speak fluent Chinese, who had a Chinese partner, I was so dependent on him for all aspects of life over there. Not so much my work life. I was relatively independent in that. And I really enjoyed my, I was a teacher. I really enjoyed my students and colleagues. But for everything else, and then of course, especially, I mean, obviously having a baby is a major life event and an intimate experience with a partner. So anyway, all of that. I did have a natural birth, and that in itself was a big accomplishment with lots of odds stacked against me, in terms of the country, the culture, all of that. They thought they didn't understand my blood type. Don't ask if you know anything about blood types. And the Chinese are exceptionally wise in terms of Chinese medicine, and it's something I admire so much. However, they still didn't understand my blood type, and that led to a lot of stress. Anyway, I had my beautiful, perfect baby, and she's 7, and she will be 8 in a few weeks, the end of May, and she's downstairs with Burry Mark right now. And I told her, I was talking at the meeting. She's friends with most of you here, and she's, absolutely the center of my life, and in a way was even before I became pregnant, because becoming pregnant, being a mother, was just so enormously important to me. Was, is, always will be, I'm sure. So, yeah. And then, well, I won't even go into the other two big dreams of being able to ride a horse bareback and write a book. But anyway, I'll come on to my four big changes of 2025 that I hope to make, in a while. So, yeah, so my little girl was born in 2017, and we came back then in 2019 as a family unit. Excited to start life here in Ireland. I very much wanted to come home, for various reasons, matters of the heart. It's hard to, such a big transition that I moved there, but and just equally as much of a big transition moving back, for me and for the three of us. But I'll stick to myself, I suppose. I had experienced very, very, I don't know what you'd call it, like devastating postnatal depression when my baby was small. And as much as I trusted her dad, my husband, I couldn't say a word to anyone, including him. I was not right in the head at all. And whether it was some form of intuition or just the total dislocation of my brain and everything with the postnatal depression, I carried it all as a secret, and I really paid a heavy price for that. So coming back, almost 2 years after she was born, a lot of that, I really wasn't, the postnatal depression had receded, had kind of gone away, had gone away at that point. But because I had never really spoken about it or dealt with it was still all left there to unpack. And like I said, I'm back 5 years, and that problem has still not really been unpacked, because life has thrown up all sorts of other things, again, opportunities, and again, lots of heartache and brokenness. So, such is real life. So, also a major motivating factor for coming home was back to Ireland with my Chinese husband and my baby. Was my dad was quite unwell from 2017 when my baby was born. His health took quite a radical downturn. He passed in 2020, so at least we were back. I was back as his daughter, and had about 10, 11 months with him before he died. So that was massively important to me, massively important to me. He was absolutely central to my life, and being a good daughter to him was kind of on a par, was on a par with being a mother, wanting to become a mother, being a mother, wanting to be a good mother, and having been, a daughter in addiction, a daughter in recovery, to my dad, having lost my mother when I was still in active addiction, and then all the having all the wishing to make amends, all the needing to make amends to my father, for all he did for me. I mean, he saved my life when I literally when I was 19, when I had my last suicide attempt. So anyway, he was a big motivating force for me to come back in 2019. So yeah, I had about 10 months to really be there for him and hands-on caring for him and all that kind of thing. And I'm glad it was a privilege. So yeah, and he died days before the complete lockdown and COVID pandemic and lockdown in Ireland. So I went from my dad's death to, the global pandemic and the lockdown in Ireland to, meetings closing, recovery meetings going online. And, through all that dark, 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 utter heartache and grief, found Tosnua. Hooray. And here I am today, and here we all here today are today. So that's a big, big win, a big, big win. So yeah, then, and I'll also say what I've written down here as well is, until 2020, being part of traditional AA and NA, I had a higher power of my own understanding. It's still hard to describe that, still hard to describe that in words, but I did, and I had faith in it. And I prayed to it. And I think, yeah, it was helpful. It supported me. It comforted me. However, that did start to break down when I was living in China with a radically different culture. And, my husband was like, has no religion, never had a religion. His religion is his country. And science technology. I have never and will never be a science and technology person. And whatever brokenness I've had in terms of religion and spirituality, science and technology will not replace that, could never fill a void for me. But yes, I've found Tasnua, and it's been a journey in terms of that spiritual path, for want of a better word. I now identify as agnostic, for whatever that's worth. I know it's just a word, but yeah, it has meaning. So yeah, what else will I say? So after, even before my dad died, my husband had started working. He had a very quite a high position in his field as an engineer in China, and China loves their they love their engineers. So when he came to Ireland and when he got a job, his first job in Ireland as an engineer, he was very happy. He was very lucky, very lucky. And again, I'm not saying he should be down on his knees thanking me, but I did play a part in helping him enormously, and then just having some contacts in Cork, a little bit in fields to help him and support him. So anyway, he didn't get the job alone, let's just say that. But he lost his first job, and it, yeah, I think looking back now, he would never in a million lifetimes admit it, but he must have fell into depression. And had no way whatsoever to really deal with that. And then my dad died, and I was in absolute grief, and had a small kid to deal with, and everything. So Our marriage started to very definitely crumble. In May 2021, I left where we had been living together, moved out with my daughter, rented a small little house. And I made that decision after we had marriage counseling. And pretty much at every session of the marriage counseling, I would say to our therapist, and the therapist would say, "Can you say that directly to Janeway's face?" And I would say directly to Janeway's face, "I just want you to listen." And the therapist would say to Janeway, "Do you hear what Julie is saying?" And he said, "Yeah." But he couldn't listen to me, and he certainly couldn't. The connection was gone, broken, that's the simplest way to put it. And it was very upsetting. I did not want my marriage to end. I did not want to have a broken family. I grew up in a broken family. I did not want the repetition of that for myself again or for my child. But it had to be. I couldn't survive. I was suffocating, in the marriage. And moved out with no thought of looking back now. So since I moved out in May 2021, I moved out thinking if we just lived apart for a while, that could be some kind of healing space. I guess I was some way optimistic despite all odds, despite every single odd. But anyway, reality showed me yet again that my hopes and wishes weren't to be, and there was no way of getting back. And then I sought legal advice, and our divorce came through in October 2022. So, achieving that was a huge thing, a huge thing. I think my solicitor would probably say, as a solicitor, a kind of a logical black and white sort of professional person, she would probably say that the process was fairly straightforward and smooth. But of course, for me, and possibly for my ex-husband as well, was, absolutely devastating. The bitterness, the anger, the bitterness, the anger, never ending, never, ever, ever ending. And it's not like I was under the illusion that it would be okay or amicable or anything remotely like that when the divorce came through. And it isn't, and it hasn't, and it never will be. He will not speak to me. He will not cooperate with arrangements about our child, really. On the one hand, yes, you could say he does. He pays child maintenance, which he has to by law, and he shows up to take care of her on my work days. But in terms of communicating anything about her things at school, fairly kind of aspects of her life that would if he or the two of us could achieve some even way of communicating, then that would be a win-win situation. But no, that's not possible. So he is a very dark force in my life. He's nothing like the man I met. He's nothing like the man I married. Anyway, that's him. So yeah, I stayed sober and clean through all that. There really has been no temptation at all since I got clean in 2003 to pick up again. Now I have said countless times in the last few years, with all the stress, all the anger, all the stress, all the anger, all the brokenness, that I want opium tea. I don't want anything else. I just want pure opium. And the tea is just an add-on, So, But of course, if it was put in front of me, I would have to say no. So, what else? What else? So my life has sort of been in tatters the last few years, but having said that, I've been working. I still, this. I'm sure, you can all identify with feeling all the feelings I have on the inside, and that's very real to me on the inside as a person feeling these and trying to negotiate them and blah 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 blah. And being in recovery, I'm supposed to work on them and accept them and make changes where I can and all that stuff. And then the outside of life with responsibilities, I work. I'm now a divorced single mother. I take pretty much all the responsibility for my child and decisions needed for her life, like, just school stuff and all kinds of stuff. I have zero family support. My parents are dead, and my two brothers, I absolutely don't speak to the one of them, and the other one is pretty much I can't really salvage that relationship. It's just hasn't been kind of expressed that he's no more in my life. But my brothers have also caused me enormous hurt, and also through the win, through the finding of Tas Nua, and through wonderful members starting a coda group in Tas Nua, I went along to them, and I certainly learned a lot. I learned things that I never learned in all my years in AA and NA, and that's been another kind of more will be revealed kind of scenario in an ongoing way. So the loss of my parents through their deaths, and the loss of my marriage through bitter breakdown and bitter divorce. That's that. And then the loss of both my brothers really deeply hurtful, deeply fucking hurtful. And there's kind of I've been able to kind of see patterns. Well, certainly again, that's the kind of job in recovery, isn't it? Like in looking at myself and life and my part and my feelings and my actions and blah blah blah. I see patterns as well. And I can see patterns in the relationships, my relationship with the two individual people that both my brothers are, Martin and Richard, and the individual type of character my ex-husband is, and how they have been in my life. And the word arrogance is a big common denominator there. And I have numerous imperfections about my personality and behavior, and I can be, I can just be aloof or mean or jealous or rude or viciously angry and, lose my head and lose my temper and be desperately snappy and judgmental and patient and all of those things. And maybe it's a joke to say, but I'm not arrogant. At least I don't, I'm like, I don't know. I have been victimized anyway by their arrogance, and that's another windy road of trying to kind of, loosen the shackles of that kind of stuff in terms of, broken relationships and needing to just heal and carry on in my own life. So I will try to come to a close. In terms of that circle I have there on my page, four big changes, which I hope to achieve within this year. Not that I, not to start on, to make a start on these four big changes this year. One is to leave my current job and find a new job. I'm sure many of you have heard me fucking bitch and moan and bitch and moan about my job. Anyway, so I need to find new employment. I'd like to start a course in psychotherapy. The deadlines for the applications for that are coming up, so I'm a little bit, deadlines, application forms, deadlines, submissions, all that stuff is like, oh, I'd prefer to, clean the house top to bottom, that sort of stuff, before I kind of really get into filling out and completing an application form. But alas, that's what I need to do in the coming days and weeks. And then the other two, I need to get myself on the road in terms of driving and having a car. The last few years, again, not for the first time in my life, but I've been under major financial strain. As I said, my ex-husband had, he was a high earner, and leaving him was not to my financial benefit. So I don't have any regrets or anything, but yeah, I've been under major financial strain the last few years. And that's absolutely true. That's absolutely fact. And at the same time, somehow through sheer grit and grime, I managed to buy a house last year. And buying a house is a major achievement for anyone, anywhere in the world. But in Ireland, and the cost of living here, and the cost of housing here, and the homeless problem here, again, all the odds were against me. Every single fucking odd was against me. Yeah, my two brothers, part of the betrayal of what they've done to me over the years was screw me over in my parents' will. So I kind of was left with nothing from them in that. And that was very hurtful. So yeah, having this small little house now for myself and my daughter is a big achievement, and it's only a small little house. Some of my friends here have been to visit my small little house. Mark Furry is downstairs minding my little girl in my house. And yeah, all the things. So I won't say much more. I couldn't imagine, I couldn't really imagine taking a drink or a drug again. And that's not to say that I still can't go completely bonkers, because I've proven that I can. But I long for more peace of mind. I long for more freedom. I would like independence from my ex-husband, but I'm not able to do that yet. And if and when I do start this course that I hope to start, and also change my work, rather than being freer from my ex-husband, I will need his help a bit more in terms of minding my own Holly, my daughter. So again, a kind of a double-edged sword. Anyway, life is life. Yeah, my mother's anniversary is coming up. My father's anniversary was a few weeks ago. So yeah, it's just not easy, but yeah, again, a cliche, I can feel immensely lonely, but knowing that I am in fact not alone, and that's fact. That's an important fact for me to remind myself of. I'll leave it there. Thanks so much.